And oh my goodness, that's what we need, isn't it? We need a new heart. We need a heart that's in love for Jesus, a heart that's in love for lost people, a heart that loves missionaries. Amen. Amen. And only God can give us what we need. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's been a joy already to hear Brother Myers minister to us from the Word and the Holy Spirit using him. And Brother Myers, would you come again and just preach to us that which the Lord has put on your heart, brother?
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Okay. John chapter 4, while you're standing, and we'll read a portion of it. And try to talk about a portion of it. The book of John is one of my favorites. Matter of fact, one of the tools that we use on the mission field is give out portions of the scripture. The book of John and the book of Romans. The book of John points to Jesus, and you got to believe on him. And Romans explains it all. From we're a sinner and we're in trouble to where Jesus came to take care of that trouble. So, and here in John chapter 4 is no exception of the Lord doing just that. Helping people to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Let's begin reading in John chapter 4 verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, oh, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Put your attention on verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So this morning, I'm going to try to help you to realize that we need to eat. And we need to be willing to help feed others too if we're going to be able to survive. So we not only take care of our own bodies, but we take care of others. But spiritually speaking, we need to eat. And we need to feed. So let's keep that in mind. Want to talk to you about satisfied in what you have done. Satisfied in what you have done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Opportunity to be here, Lord, to be a minister. So please use me in the way that you would have it be done. And help the folks that are here to receive a blessing and a challenge too, Lord, to go and do what you would have them to do. So we ask these things, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege and also what you're going to give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I read this passage of Scripture because that's basically where I want to concentrate. But we have to understand that what Jesus did here in the first passage here, beginning in chapter 4 of John, is he made an appointment with a woman to give her the gospel. Or at least get her ready for it anyway. Because I believe that when the Lord did all that he did in preaching about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and talking about God and talking about eternal things and end times and all that stuff, he was preparing the hearers. And of course his emphasis was on his students that were around him, but also those that were willing to listen. We understand that while he did that, probably nobody really got it at that time. But they saw enough to see that he was something different and he was something special. And then those that knew the Old Testament did recognize him, that this has to be the Messiah. This has to be the one we've been waiting for. But you have to understand, folks, they were looking for a redeemer, a king, someone that was going to take in and push out Rome and take over, which is understandable because that is in the plans. But at this time, he was preparing those folks to believe on him. They needed to believe on him and get their sins forgiven before all that other stuff would matter. So he takes this woman and witnesses to her and tells her that I'm living water. And you need this living water. And after talking to her, she says, I need this living water. Give it to me. And so when he told her it was him, then she just leaves her pot and starts out and tells folks in her town. And when she was doing that, the disciples came back because they went off to get food. And she went there to get water. She left that and found something more important to deal with. Get her folks to, hey, you got to come out and hear this guy. He told me everything I've done. He's got to be this Messiah that we're looking for. But his disciples came back, didn't realize, he didn't know what he was doing. So after all, what is he doing with this woman? We're not supposed to even talk to them. We're not supposed to have communication with these people. But remember, folks, there's no respect of persons with God. Amen. Jesus came, sure, he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he also had the rest of the world in play too. So here's a great example of that. So what is happening here, we can apply today. The reaction, or the not the reaction, but the opportunity that Jesus took to help his disciples to see that, you know, there's something more important. There's buying food and eating it. And we find what it is in verse 34, the will of God. And the will of God is that men would be saved by the word of God. They would trust and put their faith in the word of God. And they would live with the word of God, shining throughout their lives from the day they get saved to the day they die. Amen. Because that is our ministry. That is our life, is to let God's word work in us so that we can be a light that shines to this world. And you know what's going to happen in the end? God's going to get the glory. Amen. And everything that Jesus did, to the point he had finished it, glorified God. And you find later in the passage when he prayed to God, he said, it's time for you to glorify me as I have glorified you. And then I'm going to still glorify you, and God's still going to glorify Jesus. And now, you know what he prayed? He prayed that not just his disciples would learn to glorify, and that we all would be one and glorify the Father in heaven, but that those that would believe on him by the word of the disciples. And so here we are today. We heard the gospel. Maybe at first we didn't quite get it. We didn't quite believe it. But when it finally came down and we repented and asked Jesus to save us, that word entered our hearts. He lives in us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but he's also the word of God. That's how this book starts out. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Huh? And the word was in the beginning with God, and the same. I'm telling you, Jesus is not just an ordinary man. He's a God-man. And he came to try to get his disciples to see and understand what is important in life. And so maybe they still didn't get it here, but I do have proof here that after his resurrection, it clicked. And then the Lord was able to prepare them and send that comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then what came out of their mouths? The Word of God. The Old Testament, and then what they received from Jesus. And then even Paul got some revelation. And as he preached and taught and wrote his letters, folks, we got everything we need right here. Amen. This is the meat that we need to involve ourselves with. Did not Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and also Luke chapter 4, verse 4? Of course, they're both the same account of when he was tempted by Satan. And every time Satan said something, you know, do this, or hey, I'll do this for you if you do this, he returned with the sword, the Word of God, to tell Satan, look, the Bible says, the Word of God says, the Scripture says. So he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, what is the message this morning? Be satisfied in what you have done. Because if you're satisfied with what God has for you to do with the Word of God, then he'll be satisfied and he'll look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So what we need to do in our lives is develop a relationship with this book right here. Not just head knowledge, but actually putting it into practice. Actually seeing it nourish yourself and also nourish others. And so if you look here in verse 34, he says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish this work. He said that after, he said in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Okay, this is what he's doing. They're thinking that you need to eat. Of course, they're talking about physical food. So he takes that opportunity to say, well, actually, there's something more important. And I was just doing that. You know, they were going, what is he doing with this Syrophoenician woman? Hey, did you get anything to eat? And he said, well, actually, let me tell you. not just what he did with the woman, because they weren't there, but what was coming up the hill, if it was a hill. I don't know if it was a hill, but there's some people coming. Do you know that? Was when he said this, that folks were coming. If not, I'll point it out to you so you understand what's going on here. Because we really need to know what's going on here. So once again, they're thinking physically, but he's bringing something spiritual to help them with the spiritual kingdom that God is wanting to bring about. And I'm telling you, what's more important is what we can't see, folks, than what we can see and touch. We need to get that through our minds so that we spend more time with the spiritual than with the physical. Because the physical world, whether it's good or bad, it can draw us away if we spend more time on that than we do the spiritual. And you can't have access to the spiritual world to have the strength that you need from a holy God who is spirit. He talks in this passage, God is spirit. He says that verse 24, God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because that's the important thing. That's what he tried to get across to that lady, is that you need something spiritual. And she probably never heard about it in her life, but now she's getting access to it. And we find out later in chapter 7 that water of life is going to be that Holy Spirit that's going to be running through us. And of course, they didn't understand that because it wasn't yet given. So you have these people from Samaria. No, Jews don't get along with the Samaritans, so they go around. So it was weird that he went through there and sat down, but he had a purpose to reach this woman. But she went out and she gathered a bunch of people because she told them about what had happened in that conversation with Jesus. You know, because she got something from that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to her, you know. If people let Jesus and the Holy Spirit talk to them, they'd get stirred up and, you know, and react and go tell others, right? And that's what we need to understand, is to what was important to Jesus should be important to us. So that's what we're going to see here briefly this morning. If you look at and understand the word meat here, of course, we understand meat in the Bible refers to food. It doesn't mean that it's a piece of a deer or of a cow, okay? It just means anything that you eat. Okay, and then a drink is something that you drink, whatever it might be, to give you nourishment for your body. So you get both here. You get the Holy Spirit, and then you get the Word of God. So Holy Spirit is type unto the living water. You have to have that, and you have to have the meat, the Word of God, which is what it's talking about here, together in order to have the nourishment that you need to be able to be productive in this life for the glory of God, to help yourself and then help others, right? We want to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. Everything that he says there when he replied to that lawyer. And then he says, the second commandment is like unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, you got to take care of your relationship with you and Jesus before you can go out and help others. So we need to be fed, and then we need to feed ourselves, and then go out and help others get fed. So with that in mind, let's see something here that's going to help us. So we have a work of getting spiritual food out to the multitudes. This spiritual food, of course, is the Word of God. And the Word of God has everything that we need to know what we need to know and then to do with what we know. Okay, so what do we know? We know that we are born into this world as sinners, and we're born in the devil's family. If you don't know that, the Word of God will teach you that. And once you have that knowledge, you'll go, wow, that's not good. That means my lost relatives and my lost neighbors and coworkers, if they're lost, then they're a child of the devil. And when they die, they're going to his place. Has ever dawned on you before? Going there in Tapalpa and witnessing to an older lady saying, do you know that we're not all children of God? To say that, most people say, no, we're all children of God. No, if that was the case, then how come we're not all going to his house when we die? Because they'll admit that some were lost and go to hell. I mean, I'm not going to go there, but you understand what I'm saying. And so our job is to help these folks get out of his family and get into God's family. Amen. And you can't do it without the Word of God. You can't do it without the Spirit of God. So he is equipping these guys, his disciples, his apostles, to be able to do this. And so he's going to encourage them here, whether they got it or not then, I'll tell you what, they got it later, and we can get it now. This is a wonderful passage, so that's why I want to concentrate on this for just a few minutes. So what is this work? Well, he says, I have a meat that you know not of, and obviously because they weren't spiritually in tune. Verse 33, but they learned later, and then they passed it on. Here we have it today in 2018, because faithful men over the generations has preached the Word of God and instilled it in us, and showed us the importance of that, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? It's not what he's talking about. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's the first thing that we need to understand. Sure, physical food satisfies the body, but the spiritual food satisfies the soul. And that is what's important. And you know what the first thing on the menu is? Finding out the will of God and doing it. So that's what he said. Finding out the will of God and doing it. That was his meat. That's what we need to do. The Word of God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, is to help us to find out what God's will is, basically and then specifically for our lives. And then do it until we die. Finish the course. Amen? Okay. Let's go to John 15 real quickly and look at that. We don't have much time, so I want you to see this, and then you can meditate on it later. So let the Word of God teach you this morning. John 15, concerning you, verses 1 through 8, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men there gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, notice that, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall come be done unto you. And here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Sure, it's important to get saved. But you know what's important after that? It's to be a disciple. And what is a disciple? A person that follows a teacher. And of course, that's the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them all things that you have observed, that I've done, unto the end of the world. And lo, I'll be with you always. So when we receive the word of God and salvation, his will is not just to be saved, but to grow in grace of and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration by God, and it's profitable for all those things mentioned there, so that the man may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants you to do a work, and he wants you to finish it. It's a spiritual work. That's his will for your life. He wants you not just to be part, be the branch part of the vine. He wants you to abide in him. Because if you don't, then you won't produce fruit, and then you won't get anything at the judgment seat of Christ. I think that apply right there. You may not be in agreement. Is the judgment seat of Christ? If you get the judgment seat of Christ and you don't have any fruit, then you burn. All that stuff will burn up. And you won't have anything. But if you have fruit that remains, then you've glorified God, and he has something for you. That's the future. But the future is based on what we prepare here. So you know what we need to do, folks? We need to concentrate on this spiritual need, the will of God in our lives, and to finish that. And then he points it out specifically. So he wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to abide in him. And then when you consider others, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, talks about the Great Commission. And he says, teaching them to observe all things. So now that we're a disciple, we go out and disciple others. That's our job. That's, you know what that is? That's a labor. That's a work. That's meat worth doing. That's a great way to show you love somebody, is to give them the word of God. And if you have it proved in your own life, the Holy Spirit work in your life, and you have the word of God working in your life, and you see it for yourself, we're going to get there here in just a minute, then you'll be able to be effective in helping somebody else, little by little. Amen? So let's do the will of the Father and finish it. Let's find out exactly what God would have us to do with his word. Let his word have his way in our lives, and the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. And then we'll be fruitful. So, of course, to be fruitful, we need to sow or reap or both. And look what it says in this passage. Go back to John chapter 4. So the first thing is the will of God for yourself. Be it to be his disciple, you got to abide in him. You got to let that word abide in you and trust it and believe it and live it. And then for others, you go out then and you pass it on to them. You feed others. And God wants you to be a teacher there in some sort of a capacity, eh? Not everybody's a preacher, not everybody is a pastor, but you can be a teacher by what you say and what you do. Look here in verse 36 to 37. Well, actually, we better back up to verse 35, because something is happening, and he's talking about what's happening. A group of people are coming. Those people from Samaria that the lady went to talk and tell him about. Hey, this man, you got to hear this guy. He told me stuff that he shouldn't have known, but he knew it. So. But he's got this promise. He said he knows how to worship God. You know that actually we all can worship God. And this is incredible. And so that's what's happening here. So what he's saying to the disciples refers to them. So he says in verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Look on these people that are coming. And they're going, "What is he talking about?" And as they are coming, he says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And so what you have here is you have the universal law of sowing and reaping. And what I see here is what he's talking about is lift up your eyes and realize we need to work together in getting this word to these multitudes, because they just need to hear the word of God and let the Holy Spirit do his job, and then they'll be saved. And then they can become disciples. But to be saved and become disciples, you need other men and women to lead them along. Now, to see this in the scripture, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I realize the context is money. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You remember he said in John 15, you can do nothing without me. You've got to abide in me. My words have got to abide in you in order for you to produce fruit. And so, folks, we need to sow. And if the Lord lets us reap, be ready to reap. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm going to lead a soul to Christ, I have a responsibility to teach them discipleship from the basics all the way to whatever they'll open their ears for, so that eventually they'll be a part of the body that's in a local church. You know, I didn't understand that when I got saved because nobody discipled me. But 2 years later, when I got around those folks and they started telling me about sin, about Jesus dying, I said, well, I did that. And the Lord coming back, I didn't know that. You know, about the importance of church and growing, I didn't know that. And witnessing, I didn't know that. And so the Holy Spirit was like getting a hold of me. And I even, in that point of conversation 2 years later, 4th of July weekend, I said, you think I ought to get out of radio? Because I was a disc jockey at that time. You think I ought to get out of radio? Because that's not pleasing to God. Within a month, I got out of radio and started all over. Moved to that town, went to that church, and began my growth experience. And it hasn't ended yet. Amen. God has put men in my lives, and he's put the word of God in my lives to where I can feed myself and now feed others, which I hope I'm helping you today. We'll see. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You put a little seed in, you're going to get a little bit back. Put a little time in, you're not going to get much back. Put a lot of time in, you put into getting the word of God and helping yourself and then getting the word of God out, something's going to come back. 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So, in this context, giving, so that the gospel can go out. The context in verse 1 is the ministering of the saints. So in that context, when you give to the work of the Lord, that's a spiritual thing you're doing. Because it will help the word of God, not only in your community, in your church, but also in your community and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then it's not just giving of your finances, but how about your talents? So that somebody can hear the gospel and be able to grow and abide in Christ too. Or your time to become a full-time minister if you can. But if it's part-time or full-time, I'm going to tell you something. We're all working together. Did he not say over here in John chapter 4? He says right here in verse 36, says, he reapeth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. One soweth and another reapeth, but God gives the increase. So where's your part this morning? Where's your part in this life? Is the meat that God has given from heaven a priority in your life? and that is to do his will and to participate in sowing the word of God so that you may reap or others may reap. I'm going to tell you right now, I've sowed a lot of seed in Tapalpa. I may not reap there, but hopefully somebody else will go there and they'll reap and go, wow, and be able to help some people. I have no problem with that. So I'm going to Guadalajara and I'm going to sow. If the Lord lets me reap, fine. If not, hopefully somebody else will reap until he takes me home, till I'm finished. And of course, folks, all this boils down to one thing, and that is fruit. And yes, I am going to try to challenge you here in 5 minutes. What that is. And this is the best part. John chapter 4. Are you there? Okay, now, let's pick up verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. That's Jesus. They wanted to come and see Jesus. They wanted to spend some time with Jesus. But they first heard it from her. They're first going to hear it from us, folks. We got to go out there with our personal testimony and tell them what great and wonderful and marvelous things God has done for us. That's our witness. That's going to happen first. We're that tool, we're that link, we're that ambassador for Christ. We got to go do it. So the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Because the Word of God needs to have somebody to carry it. Not just in what you say, but how you live your life. Got that? So they saw something in that woman, her excitement and what she told them about that conversation that they just had. And she gathered up a crowd and brought them to Jesus. Now watch this. Verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know what? That this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. That Jesus Christ is the Savior of your soul? That you know for sure, 100%, that you'll go to heaven when you die? Somebody brought that to your attention and you pondered it and maybe with little faith believed it. But then when you got in the Word of God and listened to some more preaching and teaching about it, you were convinced yourself. Amen. That it's true. In other words, what I'm telling you this morning, it's better that you're convinced because you see it here and believe it's here and it comes from above. Amen. More than just because I'm telling you it's so. Those folks in Mexico, I need to tell them about Jesus and their need for salvation and the need for putting sin aside and something better in its place, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They know nothing about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they need to see that and hear that, but they need to see it and hear it in the Word of God. And then say, you know what? I believe it because God says it. Amen. And if that happens, that's fruit, my brother. That's fruit, my sister. I'm telling you right now. And that's what that is. It's that fruit that will be born. Because we do our part to help others see it. And then when they get it, fruit is produced. Because I know nothing better in my life than to spend time every day with this book right here, but also to put it in practice. Not because the preacher says it calmly or with aggression. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that, but I do that. But it's because God says it. So make it up in your mind, please, that you'll know Jesus Christ and that you'll make that your number one thing to do in your life. Now that, my friend, is better than eating a steak or going to Popeye's fried chicken. I don't know what your favorite food is, but some of that stuff is good. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a whole lot better stuff in here and has an actual eternal value to it. So let's be fruitful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray, and then we'll be done. Real quickly, this right here is a little greeting card that my daughter Abigail makes. And I only got three left. They're like $1.25. So if you'd like to one, and all the money goes to her because she needs to earn some money because we live in a missions house. Not really much chores to do there. So that's a way for she can earn money. And I think she does tithe it and put it in missions as well. So because that's the only way she's going to be able to do it. So there's three left. $1.25 if you want to help out with that. Just put the money in the envelope that's behind the display. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love that to the crazy world that we live in, that here in 2018 where we have a choice where we could go and live for the world. We have a choice where we can just ignore your word and your commandments and all the things that are written in here. But you have this grace and wonderful mercy to reach us. I pray, Father, that you'll help all that are in here today to realize how precious your book is, how that word is this needs to be our spiritual meat on a daily basis, and then we need to go out and feed the poor that's out there, Lord. Poor in spirit, poor in understanding, and poor because they're living for the devil. Help us, Lord, that they can become rich like your son when he became poor and came to this earth and gave up all of his riches and suffered down here so that we could be rich and so that we could not just eat the master's table there in glory, but now we can have fellowship with you, Lord, and eat at your table. It's a spiritual thing. Help the folks to understand that. We got enough word and illustrations in the book in our lives to understand what that means, to let it have an effect. Help the folks, Lord, to get it some fruit in their lives, Lord, of true belief in some things that you have that concern creation, that concern salvation, that concern the Christian life, and just enjoy living this life, Lord, knowing that you'll take care of us, you'll answer our prayers and all these things, and then to pass it on to others and help them to see that they can have it too. So, Lord, have your way in the services and the food to follow, Lord, our fellowship around the food. And thank you so much for sending your son in the world to pay this price, and then all those that paid the price up to someone giving us the gospel, Lord. Please help us, Lord, to do what we need to do, to do your will and finish it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.